We're Kath and Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode. Catherine, we are back for our second week in our amazing series that you started last week, and I'm so excited. Would you mind reminding us what we're going to talk about today?
I'm glad I'm not the only one that needs reminding of these things. But absolutely. So I shared this framework from Dr. Sarah McKay, neuroscientist, from her book, The Woman's Brain Book. And she talks about the fact that at any time when we're, you know, doesn't matter where we are, there are a whole lot of factors that impact how we're being and how we, you know, showing up. And so we talked about this framework of the bottom up, outside in, top down approach. Yeah. So you're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on? Why am I feeling like I'm feeling? Yeah. It's a beautiful, simple, I love simple framework to help you not feel so muddled and confused.
Love it.
About what's happening.
Yeah.
So the bottom up is all about our bodies, you know, what's happening with our nutrition and sleep and exercise and hormones and all that stuff. Outside in is what's happening in our, literally in our outside world, you know, other people, our environment, support from others, judgment from others.
Yeah.
You know, so what's going on. And then the top down is all, you know, our beliefs, our emotions, our mindsets, our thinking.
That doesn't stop.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. But today, Elle, between the two of us, you, I think, are the expert in health and well-being. I mean, you have a passion.
I do have a passion. Yeah.
And so I'd love you, you know, to share more on the bottom up. That's okay.
Oh, I'd love to. Anything I can do to help and remind myself of a few things along the way as well.
Yeah. So, Elle, you've shared before with me that you have a this passion for being just looking after yourself, you know, keeping it simple and being healthy.
Yeah.
So where did that come from? And has that been sort of always the case?
Well, I think once I became a mom, I did want to look after my kids and have the most energy that I could to be a present mom and play the games and do all of the things, right? So I guess I've always had this excitement about being outdoors and playing with my children. So that helped to keep me fairly active. But it wasn't until a crazy, and I think we've probably touched on it on an episode before, but it was a crazy season in my life where I wasn't looking after myself. So I was crazy busy, working full-time as a teacher. You know, we had five primary school age children and babies. We were, you know, in church, coaching soccer teams, renovating our house. Like, it was just madness. And the thing that gave way in my life was looking after myself. And I distinctly remember feeling really down on myself, feeling emotionally worn out, beating myself up over it, you know, having those conversations with yourself, come on, Al, you got to look after yourself, but just not having the energy to do it, thinking that I didn't have the time to do it. So I wasn't doing anything bad. I just wasn't doing anything right or good for myself. I wasn't doing any exercise. I was just eating as we were, you know, running kind of thing. And I just remember feeling just really down in the dumps.
Yeah. Well, look, as I've heard you share, I'm just sitting here thinking, gosh, no exercise. It sounds to me like you were renovating and coaching soccer teams. I mean, that sounds pretty active in my book, at least.
See, and that's true. I guess I would say, though, exercise for me is more than just getting out and being active. It's about creating a space and a time for me to be present for myself and for my body. So it's, yes, exerting energy, but it's all that comes with it. It's all encompassing. So exercise is in the mind, it's in the body, it's in the heart, it's the whole body. I don't see exercise as just being lifting up the, you know, we fixed the ceiling in our house in Mount Isa. There was lots of weight bearing. But yeah, I wouldn't classify that as exercise, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. That's really interesting and such a good share too. So I'm curious to know then, when you think and use the language of, you know, I wasn't looking after myself, I wanted to get better at looking after myself. I mean, I know what goes through my head and what I think that means, but what does that mean for you actually, just listening to you share, to look after yourself?
To do the things that I know my body needs, like to pay attention to my body and actually give it what it needs. And so at that time, what my body needed, A, was a bit of time out for me to exercise, and it needed some whole food nutrition, not just running, like not just grabbing and running constantly on the go. I needed to be intentional and feed my body what it needed. I've got lots of, you know, I grew up with sort of issues in my belly and all that sort of stuff. So I know what my body needs, but I wasn't doing it.
Okay.
So in that time, I then felt that my body didn't work, didn't cooperate with me. I didn't feel well. Emotionally, I was not where I needed to be the full-time teacher, to be the mum, to be the wife, to to do all the things I needed to do. Yeah.
And this is a beautiful example of this model and how we can use this model, because I'm sitting listening to you and I'm thinking, you know, gosh, you know, a couple of years ago back, I'd be listening to you thinking, but where does one even start?
Yes.
You know, if you're feeling
I know where to start, I'll tell you.
So, okay, tell us, where using our model, where do you start, you know?
If anyone, when my Theodore book goes live, which is getting closer, so I'll stop talking about it eventually, but I share about this story. It was literally one day I was feeling, we didn't even have a kitchen, so our living space was tiny. We had this dining space and my kitchen was on the dining table, and I was, you know, feeling bad about looking not the way I wanted to look and just down in the dumps and cooking in the microwave. So I put the potatoes in the microwave to cook. And I hit the timer, and we had a crummy microwave and it needed like 10 minutes or something to cook. So I like put the timer on, and it just, it dawned on me in that split second, I had 10 minutes. So I put my joggers on, which miraculously must have been nearby. And I just, my husband happened to be home. He was a shift worker at the time. And I just said, dinner's on. You don't need to do anything. I'm going around the block. And I said it real quick because I didn't want any of the kids coming with me. Because normally it would be kids, dogs, you know, and then by the time you're at the door, the potatoes are done and you're on to the next thing. So I literally, it was like this light bulb moment. I saw 10 minutes. It might have even 5-10 minutes somewhere in that vicinity. I think it was a 5-minute timer, but I knew it would take a few minutes longer. So I literally threw my shoes on and went around the block because that's all I knew that I had. But the funny thing was, the next day I was able to do the same. I had a few minutes. It's like I found, I became aware that I could find 5 or 10 minutes in my day. And it put aside the excuses. And so it wasn't a great, you know, I wasn't going to the gym doing this huge workout. I wasn't doing 5Ks. I was literally going around the block. But in doing that, it completely shifted my mindset. And emotionally, it gave me back this sense of I can do something. I'm no longer a victim. Oh, woe is me. I've got no time for me. I can't exercise. I'm eating, you know, rubbish food. Hello, I can do something. And then with that one shift, you become more acutely aware. Oh, what can I be eating? Because you start to do that shift. And so then you find your 10 minutes in the day, which then was, okay, I'm going to start eating a bit more intentional. I'm going to feed my body the things that it needs. And then you start to find more than one 10 minutes in a day. You find 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And then before long, you find, you know, your 5-10 minutes all over the place and I'm running 5 kilometers. Like, it's because you shift it. And you start to see it completely different because your emotions, my emotions completely changed. They started working for me instead of giving me a hard time.
So looking at our model, you went to the bottom up and you tweaked and little things from the bottom up. And it's really interesting to hear you share. And this is so true, how If we even just focus on one of those areas in this model, yeah, how it shifts everything in the other areas too.
Absolutely.
And as you said, as your bottom up stuff got more sort of healthy and intentional and wholesome, yeah, the top down stuff started to sort of fix itself.
It did.
And having to do that.
Yeah.
A question for you though.
Okay.
I'm listening here and I'm thinking, well, that's all really good for you because you obviously had something on the inside that, you know, you wanted to do this.
Yeah.
So what do you share for the listeners listening that go, yeah, I know I should be, you know, exercising. Mm. I know I should be, I don't know, drinking water or whatever. Mm. But, you know, it's one thing to know, but then it's how do we shift from an external people telling us what we should do? Mm. Which we know at some level, yes, that's good for us.
Of course, we hear it all the time, right?
Versus that internal motivation to go, yeah, you know, actually I'm going to do this not because everybody's telling me to do this. I want to do this because I really want to do this. Like, so,
Wow. I think our shoulds need to become our musts. It needs to become a must. And so it became a must for me because I'd had enough of having enough. I got to that place that I knew if I didn't make a change, I was only going to get worse. It was going to, you know, I couldn't possibly maintain what was in my hands if something didn't change, if I didn't look after my body. So it became a must for me. So for anybody to make any change, for me, it needs to become a must. And sometimes our must happens because, you know, you start to peek into the future. If we don't make a change, even a small change, if we do the same thing, where will we be in 5 years or in a year? But sometimes, you know, it pays to go a bit further. If we don't make a single change in 5 years, what will our life look like? And I knew if I didn't make a change, I wasn't going to be the mum that I wanted to be. I was absolutely not going to be able to sit with 30 kids in my class and teach them every day feeling the way I was feeling. It became a must in my life.
Okay, so what I'm hearing also, like another language around that, I suppose, would be that it became a non-negotiable.
A non-negotiable, yeah.
And so it must have been non-negotiable. And I think just listening to you share, I'm reminded of that other tool we've learned in coaching, how, you know, the two biggest driving forces that drive everything we do,
pain,
you know,
and pleasure.
Pain and pleasure. And so you looked at where you were at and forecasted where you were headed to, and that just looked like a whole lot of pain.
Yeah, it's not who I wanted to be, not what I wanted to look like, not how I wanted to behave. Absolutely.
So, and that's really interesting. And this is why I love our conversations, because I, over time, and I think it's, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I listen to it. I've got mentors, and Graham Cook is one of them. And he's over and over has shared the importance of the pleasure part as well, like the desire. And I think sometimes, you know, so I think just to encourage our listeners, you might be listening and absolutely relating to, like you move away from pain for sure. And you might be listening and thinking, oh, you know, I'm not actually sure that I'm at the, you know, when the pain dial is not turned up enough, it's hard to have that motivation. You know, when you're like, yeah, I know that's not good for me, but yeah, you know, it's not that painful just yet.
Yeah, right.
Recognizing there's also a pleasure dial, you know.
Yeah, beautiful.
And, so, you know, what, and I knowing you, you know, what I've learned about you is that you find pleasure as well in exercise and in
hands down, I do. Yeah.
So, you know, I think for the person listening and wondering and sort of thinking, yes, I know I should do this stuff, you know, even the, how do I make it a non-negotiable? I find pleasure. These are good questions to ask yourself.
They are really good questions to ask.
And if it's not doing for you the sort of what's, you know, how do I make this a non-negotiable, then at least another question to ask as well, how can I make this pleasurable?
That's right.
And I, that's what I, one of the things I've really enjoyed about this coach-like approach versus, you know, when I was practicing medicine and I didn't know any better, you know, like medicine was very prescriptive.
I was going to say, you prescribe what they need to do. Yes.
And especially because I was working in the space of, diabetes and mm-hmm. obesity and all of that. There were a lot of lifestyle medicine came into this. And I sat there as a 20-something-year-old, prescribing, you should exercise this much today, and this is what it needs to look like, and this is what you must do. Not having this awareness that, but I could see, I think I did have some intuitive awareness that the person on the other side of the table was just looking at me with a blank, the wall would go up, and I could see in the expression that they're thinking, I ain't going to do any of that.
None of that,
And so I think it's so encouraging to have insight into the asking, well, what will bring me pleasure? If I do want to look after myself, what could I do that in my thinking and being feels like it will bring me joy?
That's right.
And even I love what you shared about looking far ahead and looking 5 years down the line and thinking, who do I need to be now to make that enjoyable?
That's right. Because I knew that I wanted to, I really find a great deal of value and joy in showing up as a feeling fit and strong and healthy. Like that brings me joy, not just because it's a superficial thing, but I feel like I can come in with some confidence because I'm looking after myself. To me, that brings me pleasure. And it brings me pleasure to know that I'm, doing what I can to look after my body to be the mum and to be the wife. I want my husband until he's old to find me attractive. And even then, for me, I sort of look at that, and yet if I made no changes, I knew that I wouldn't. I love that you brought up about the pleasure, because absolutely that was a huge factor for me. I wanted a different result in 5 years' time. And I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and whinging about it. And it's interesting that you talked about, how do we get it to be our non-negotiable? Because, there's people in my world, I won't say names, but there might be some of my children or one of them, who's not sick and tired of feeling sick and tired yet.
Yeah, I've got one too.
So until it's become a non-negotiable, until either the pleasure dial, I love that you said that, turned up, or the pain, it's just unbearable, they're going to flounder around until it is so.
And so I understand, we can also have so much wanting for others to see what we see and experience what we experience. Like, come on, can't you see it? You can do it.
Plain as day. Yeah.
So anyway, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh my gosh, something stirs on the inside of you that at some level, even if it's just a head level thing that you want to improve your health and well-being, but you just feel like you're so far away from an internal drive to get there, then connect with Ali for a coaching session.
Hands down.
Coaching, it's just amazing how talking this through and figuring out, and this is what coaching does. We partner with you to figure out what is going to, for you as an individual, to turn those pain and pleasure dials up so that you will feel motivated to and excited about taking those steps to be healthy.
That's right, from our bottom up, the parts that we do have control over. It might be as well, we talked about last week, going to the doctor. I mean, that's something that we can do, just to check on how is our physiology, like how's our body actually coping on the inside, the parts we can't see. But then how are we looking after ourselves?
So, if you think, and this is the thing, because I think anyone can, how many times a day, a week do you hear, you need to look after yourself, you need to look after your body, and drink more water. Yeah. There's so many strategies out there for how to incorporate drinking more water into your day, and unless you live in Townsville, where it's like you just have to because you just sweat it out so much.
That's right, that's right.
I mean, it's a bit of a challenge here when the weather's cold in Adelaide.
Oh, I'd imagine all I'd want to drink is tea, hot tea.
Yeah. And I must say, I rediscovered rooibos tea the other day. And
that's in my cupboard too.
Okay.
Yes, nice.
Just, you know, to have a what can I replenish liquids with that aren't, you know, necessarily caffeine related. And I think again, it all comes back to that internal drive and desire.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, you mentioned before shifting your shoulds to a must. And, you know, so absolutely self-control and discipline comes into the picture.
Oh, of course.
You know, can't not. But if you're thinking and you're listening and you're thinking, but I've tried this before and it just doesn't work, it's potentially because, and I'm saying this in love because I've done it, or we all do this.
Yeah.
Purely from a place of self-discipline and willpower.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting to learn in the coaching space that self-discipline and willpower are limited. Like we don't have
endless.
Endless supplies of them, and they will run out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the sort of pain pleasure stuff helping the process along, and you're just relying on discipline and grit, it's probably not going to take
be
you
sustainable.
To
that's right.
So, there are lots of you know. So if you're listening and you're thinking, "Oh, I've been there, done that, tried that, didn't work," invite you into a different kind of conversation, because I've learned that, you know, for each of us as an individual to figure out for you, what is this for me? What do I need this to look like for me? What
That's
will
right.
work for me? And I love your story about the 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, because what book out there says, you know, just do 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah, no, that would definitely not win any awards. It's probably not, you know, what anybody would prescribe. But it's the one thing that I could do, and it changed everything. And everybody's one thing will look a little bit different, and that's okay too.
Yes, absolutely.
And we learn as we go, and things change as we grow. Yeah.
So, Al, just before we wrap up today, I'd love to, you've just shown me, and I'm so excited that you've written a new book. And so, you know, being someone who is passionate about exercise, just share 5 minutes with us, your book that you've written.
Sure. Oh, I'm a little bit nervous to share about the book because the book isn't the book that I've been writing. So a quick recap about that is I was part of a program where we needed to write and publish a book all within 7 days just to learn and understand the process. And I did this because we all know, because I've shared before, I've got this book that's ready to launch, and I just didn't, I wanted to give myself the tools on the how-tos, the practical logistics.
You wanted to do a practice trial run before the real thing.
I did, absolutely. And so I had to write something that I could just write off the top of my head, didn't require. And so I was like, oh, lots of people have asked me how I trained for the ultramarathon. So my book is called Ultramarathon Training Tips. And the little subtitle is Discover How as a Busy Working Mum, You Can Train for, Survive, and Enjoy Your First Ultramarathon. And I love it. It's really, really simple. It's just the things that I did that helped me on my training journey, because as you've heard from our conversation today, life is busy. It is full. I don't have the time to do all of the things that other people think you should to be fit and strong. I do and did what I needed to do to get me to the start line. And we've heard the story on here before. So that's what this book is. And it's short. It's only, you know, it's the bind's not even thick enough to put the title on it.
Which is lovely. I mean, I love something short, simple, easy to read.
And it's got some simple tools. Yeah.
So if I'm looking at it thinking, okay, well, that's great. I'd love some simple tools, but I don't know about, you know, an ultramarathon.
Yeah, you don't have to run the ultramarathon.
So it will still be helpful to pick up and read.
Yeah.
As an encourager if you're wanting just to make a stop.
I would hope so. Absolutely. And it starts from the beginning. I share a bit of that story that I shared in this episode, actually, which I had no idea we were going to do today, but that worked out well too. You know, because you've got to start somewhere.
You've got to start somewhere. So will you pop a link to like how we can get hold of your book?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll put that in the show notes. Yeah, it's live on Amazon. So you can get it as a Kindle, like an ebook, or you can get it hard copy, which I have, which I'm Yeah, I might frame a copy or something. I don't know.
Oh, well, I'm definitely going to order a hard copy. I'm old school. I love hard copy on my shelf. So I can have an Alison Ladd book on my shelf.
How exciting.
Oh, it's very, very exciting. Yeah. So, and then as again, if you've been listening and you'd feel like a coaching conversation, both of our, what is in the show notes, Elle?
Yeah. Our emails and the name of our businesses. So you can know exactly how to find us on our socials or our website, and then our email address, so you can just connect in directly. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear anything that you have to share about the episodes. If there's something you want us to unpack one day, let us know, because we'd love to know how we can support you on your journey. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Right. So we'll leave it there for today.
Absolutely.
And so next week we'll continue our
outside in.
Four-part. Yeah, we'll talk about the outside in for sure. Look forward to it.
All right. See you then.
See you then, Elle.